good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cuff, hitting the cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. We talk about local issues like local Native issues and national Native issues. We have our sacred animal portion on. Today we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish on, along with Wendy Pilot, our animal advocate, and talking about, you know, our sacred animals. And Haley, as you know, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
It's good to hear that I'm right once a day. I enjoy the show just for that fact. And Wendy's on with us right now, and we're going to be talking to State Senator Mary Kunish soon. There's a lot going on this weekend, and our friend Maggie Lorenz and her group are having something going on. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on that, Chujunk.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one I'm really excited for. I've been looking forward to it for a while, really ever since I put it out. So this coming Monday is Earth Day, and Wakan Tipi is holding something this Saturday, April 20th, tomorrow from 9 to 11:30 a.m. We're going to be volunteering to clean up trash at Wakan Tipi or the Sacred Indian Mounds Cemetery. So come on out and help us care for these sacred places. You know, this is Dakota, Ho-Chunk land, Anishinaabe land. So we want to make sure we're taking care of it, especially these very sacred sites, such as, you know, our mounds and our caves. So come hang out with me and the Wakan Tipi crew tomorrow, Saturday, April 20th from 9 to 11:30.
Hey, Wendy, I believe in, I think, 1972, that was the first Earth Day. And prior to that,
I was too young to remember that.
Prior to that, I think people just threw their trash wherever they wanted to. And it really has become a movement over the years.
Yes, I remember that. I remember one TV commercial in particular.
Robert's sneezing
right now. Yes, I remember one TV commercial years ago. I was a kid. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but it was this Native American Indian in a canoe paddling, and all, like, you know, people's trash were on the shoreline and in the river or lake, wherever wherever he was. And it was like a TV commercial, like, please don't litter. But yeah, I remember, like, in the early 70s, like, people just left garbage around. I remember, like, when I first started driving, pulling up to a car, sitting behind a car at a light, and the guy just, like, opened up his door and emptied his ashtray into the street. Like, that was like a common occurrence back in the day. I'm glad it's not like that anymore. But I mean, people, of course, still litter and, you know, whatever. But it's a lot better, I think. It definitely is a lot better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks like we the big problem now is the big companies polluting on the side with the water and all that. But I remember that. And that's kind of a controversial character. He ended up being Italian.
Oh, really?
Native American, that with the teardrop in his eyes. But the positive thing was that him and his wife adopted Native American kids, and he was involved with the tribes and stuff like that. I don't know. Everything back then was so, I mean, we just ran into that with Buffy St. Marie, that everyone that claimed to be Native American was automatically Native American. So people are vetting out these imposters a little better, but that's just a side note of that person.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Haley?
Oh, I just wanted to make sure. So we mentioned the spring artisan market. This is all my relations and four sisters teaming up for their spring artisan market. Again, this is happening today. If you missed it, it was from 10 to 2 p.m., I believe, but it will be happening Saturday, tomorrow, April 20th, again from 10 to 2, and that'll be at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Some of the vendors out there, I think we know a lot of them, Standing Bear Designs, Beatings Bling and Buckskin, Roxanne Hinyon, Old Cedar Native Arts, and of course, our good friend Brooke LaFleau with Ninny Johnny's One of Ones, as well as Corn Silk Daughter. So that'll be a really great market just filled with events. And then also there's another market going on. This will be on Sunday, Indigenous Spring Market, honoring Maka Unshi, Mother Earth. So I think this is, you know, in honor of Earth Day. This will be at Eagle and Condor Native Wellness Center, 790 7th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota. Again, Sunday, April 21st, noon to 4 p.m.
And here I thought Haley was just showing off her new phone to us.
Oh, I wish it was new. The old cracked screen here and everything.
Well, the Gen Zers work well with those cracked screens I see.
Yeah, here. Yeah. We know how to put a new screen protector on, I would hope. But well, yeah, there's a lot of fun things going on this weekend.
As always, and you can hear it first here on Native Roots Radio. We got to get Roya back on. She used to give us updates, but she's been busy acting, so.
Ooh, that's always fun. Well, I want to mention this, too. This is the sixth annual Student Honoring Powwow, April 20th at Moundsview Public Schools. 1 p.m. is grand entry. 2 p.m. is our Students Honoring, and then 4 p.m. Not sure what this says, but 6 p.m. there will be a feast. You know what? What's one thing that's really great about our digital posters that everyone shares? Sometimes I'm so quick to save them to my phone that they save blurry. Does that ever happen to you guys?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
Your posters that you save to your camera roll on your phone, are they blurry when you go back to look at them?
If I don't have my glasses on, they are very blurry.
Okay. Well, maybe it's just my blurry phone.
Well, when you drop your phone a few times, things like blurriness do occur, I do believe. And everything's blurry if I'm not wearing my glasses, too.
Yeah. Well, dropping my phone is an everyday occurrence. So let's just let everyone know about that.
Ooh. Ooh,
geez. I think it's an ADHD thing.
Ah, it's a young person thing.
A young person thing.
We didn't have phones like this back in the day, you know. If Robert and I were driving around and had to make a phone call, we just made sure we had some dimes in our pockets and we'd pull over to the nearest little payphone and throw a couple of dimes in.
Well, and that's
when
the
operator used to come on and say, "You have 1 minute left, or put in 25 more cents."
Yeah, and long distance calls. I remember, well, that's the term, like if somebody's going to snitch on you, they drop a dime on you, is meaning that they called you from a phone booth and told the police on you.
Oh.
Yeah. Back in the day, if we wanted to block somebody, we just left our phone off the hook.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's how we block somebody.
I like that.
Leave that phone off the hook. You'd have to hear a dial tone for a very long time until it died off.
Well, I quit drinking in 1984, and I always said if there was caller ID back then, I might have still been drinking, because then I'd know who's trying to call me, what bill collector, and so on and so forth.
I'm gonna confess here, but when I was a little kid, you know, me and my friends, we would get on the phone and we'd go through the phone book. And we would find people who had funny last names and call them. Like, I remember calling this, like, we looked up Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, and we called the people whose last name was Berry. And we'd say, "Are you a blueberry or a strawberry or a blackberry?" And, like, sometimes people would just hang up on us. But we would get, like, a couple of people on the phone that would really entertain us. And we would just crack up laughing.
Hey, for some more high energy radio, stay tuned to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break with State Senator Mary Kunis. Hey, yeah, hey, 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 yeah, hey, yeah.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
Seward Co-op offers convenient grab-and-go options as well as hot bars and salad bars at both the Friendship and our newly remodeled Franklin store. Breakfast items are available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch is served all day every Sunday. Our weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight culinary traditions and cuisines from around the world. We offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free items every day. 90% of the ingredients used are from organic, local, and small-scale producers whenever possible. Learn more at seward.coop.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Native owned. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we are awake here. We're with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota, our friend. And also, all three of us got to see you a couple days ago. And it was really excited to see you. And like Wendy was saying earlier, it was such a privilege and a jolt in a good way to see you come and speak to us.
Well, Matakiape, everybody, it was really fun to see you all in my environment at the Capitol. Every time, I always see a lot of the same people, lobbyists, folks that are always there trying to get their legislation passed, and of course all the legislators and the staff. So when you see somebody from outside, it's just like, this is so great. It's really exciting. And it was fun to pick you all out of the crowd for sure.
Well, Wendy, you were there, and it was, wasn't it really great to see State Senator Mary Kunish?
Yes, it's always a privilege when we get to see her and she comes in and talks. Yes, it was Wolf Day at the Minnesota State Capitol on April 17th. That was Wednesday. Dr. Mary Hackett, Dr. Hackett, from Howling for Wolves is the founder, and she put this on with a lot of volunteers, and over 100 people showed up to protect our Minnesota wolves. So thanks again, Mary, Senator Kunish, for coming in and speaking to our crowd and letting them know why it's important for us all to protect our Minnesota wolves.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I think this is the it's the second year, if not the fourth year in the Senate that I've carried the bill to, protect the wolves against, just slaughter, open hunting season. And there's a lot of people that are very passionate, such as yourselves, who are adamant about protecting the wolves at any cost. And then we have the other side of the coin, where there are folks that would like to just go out there and annihilate the population. If you're listening to them talk, you think these folks were like preying on anything that moves across the state of Minnesota. when in fact, you know, we're the ones invading their territory, not so much them invading ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny how it's down party lines, especially with these traps. We talked a lot about these traps and how you can put a trap on somebody's land and you don't even have to tell them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Absolutely. And then, you know, when we heard this on the floor, and I'm just going to be honest, we brought the bill to the floor with a really strong recognition that it probably wasn't going to pass. If it had passed off of the Senate floor, I would have probably fainted dead away. But I knew that it was a huge uphill battle. I knew the chances of it passing were slim to none. And as you said, it was very much party lines, but it did not pass because we do have some legislators that, while they might be in support on, you know, on my side of the way things are, they represent communities that are not. And that's always that really hard, fine line that as an elected official, you have to walk, because you're not just representing yourselves or your party, you're representing constituents. And oftentimes those needs or those wants of our constituents do not always align with our own personal either values or viewpoints or politics. So it's a hard one. It's a really hard line when that happens. But we had a lot more votes, and I wish I had the vote up here right now, but it came pretty close. It was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
I think it was like 30-35. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and we really needed 34 to pass it. Mm-hmm. So we would have only needed 4 more votes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, it was interesting. I believe you said this, or maybe one of the Senator Dibble came in too and said that people find out more information about the wolves and not listen to, I guess, some of the propaganda going on up there, really kind of do swing back and want to protect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is so much misinformation out there. There was a senator that stood up and painted just the most god awful. I mean, you would have thought they were werewolves up there attacking, you know, attacking their little dogs and pets and little children. And, you know, apparently his story was that a wolf attacked something near a person's home and there was blood splatter everywhere on the house, on the set. I mean, and he handed out black and white photos of something. We don't know exactly what, but, you know, this is the kind of ridiculous exaggeration that happens. And people are horrified, of course, by that. Yeah. But then when you really sit down and ask them, like, where did this happen and who did this happen to? And can you give me, you know, somebody to talk to verify this? They're all like, you know, 9 times out of 10, either they will blow you off or we'll get it to you, and they never get it to you. So these are just scare tactics that some people, unfortunately, are very susceptible to.
Well, it sounds like we have to send some garlic up there to put on their doors.
Yes. It's the same fake news they're spreading elsewhere.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It really is. I don't know. Fear is a real motivator in a lot of ways. And people just tend to side with the fear, you know, that must be the emotion that most takes over when you hear these things. So, and they just don't question or have good questions or know where to go for the answers. But we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep working on this. You know, it was pretty incredible that we actually did get to take it to the floor of the Senate. We got that far this year. And so we'll have more conversations. We're not done yet.
Well, again, I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you for doing that and really showing a lot of courage and standing up for what you think is right. So I want to definitely say a big thank you, Pini Gigi.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. And it was kind of cool that it was down in the vault. Isn't that a neat space?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah. And we had you weren't able to stick around, but what Root to Rise did the food, and it was unbelievably good. The vegan food.
Shoot, I wish I would have got some of that. Wendy, some of those days, man, we're on the floor for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you know, I've got lunch sitting over in my office. But you know, when we get a nice little treat like that, that makes my day.
Wendy, did you have something? I saw you unmuted.
No, I just muted myself. So in case there's any noise here, I won't disturb you guys. No, but Root to Rise is awesome. Heather is the owner, and she has this a restaurant in Minneapolis, right on Lindale Avenue, called High Flora, which is awesome. It's a all vegan restaurant. She grows all the old, you know, her own vegetables and stuff. And she has chefs there that come up with these creations that you would never imagine. And the food is just so delicious. So if you get a chance, check out High Flora.
It's funny. She grew up with our friend, Maggie Lorenz, their lifelong friends. So the planets get smaller and smaller.
Well, if you would have been there yesterday or any day now, most days during the week till we're done with session, my daughter Louisa's food truck was at the Capitol.
Oh,
check that out. Yeah, you have to check that out.
That's where Haley got a ticket right over there, wasn't it, Haley?
Oh, parking ticket. You guys, no. I did. I tried to pay it already, but it wasn't. It was too soon. They haven't posted it yet.
Oh, that's funny. Too soon.
Yeah.
Darn. Well, we got a couple more minutes here in the segment. What else is happening? I know the same day it was Veterans Day up there, and I saw a lot of veterans.
Yeah, they're, it's interesting because we are always doing work with veterans about veterans at the state capitol, whether it's to, you know, allow them into parks at no cost, whether it's to ensure that they have adequate housing as well as some of the health, the mental health issues and the other things that come along with rewarding them for serving our country, whether we agree in any of these military fronts that we've been active in the United States. But it's just always, I just am heartened and I feel so honored when we are able to listen and make their lives a little bit better. And it's not an easy thing to be a veteran, especially for some of the wars that we've had. But if it's some easier way to say thank you, we will. And we have I sit next to a woman who's a veteran herself, for the armed services and still serves in the reserves. So women, people of color, largest group of serving members and enrolling members.
Yeah, we definitely support our military members and per capita Native Americans are the biggest,
highest enrolled. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break. It's Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, The latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
From Kansas, I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with State Senator Kunish and a staple here on Native Roots Radio, and we really appreciate you coming on. And Wendy, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the Stone Age 7 years ago, we were begging people to come on the show, and our first politician that we had on our show was Representative Mary Kunish Podine, and we want to say a big thank you for opening up that door for us and getting all these politicians on over the years. This is a safe place to talk and have a good conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I was a new legislator, new politician. I was just starting out, and you guys gave me an opportunity to learn a lot. And you know, when you have to present something or talk about something, you have to know what you're talking about. So many of the things that, you know, we've had conversations over the years is basically just sort of a diary of all the stuff that I've learned in the last 8 years at the legislature. So it'd be interesting to go back and watch some of those earlier ones and listen to what we were up to back then. Yeah.
Well, I remember you would send us a report too. And one time, you were in the Bahamas or somewhere and sent us a report.
Puerto Rico.
By a swimming pool.
Do
you remember that?
Do
you remember that,
yeah,
Wendy?
Puerto Rico at the beach. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was really cool. Yeah. It's easy.
Mary, how did you, or what inspired you to get into politics, or how did that ball get rolling?
Ooh. Well, Robert knows this story, but I was teaching at the time. I was, you know, I'd put in at least 20 years of teaching, and 15 of those as a library media specialist. And I'd always kind of been active and kept aware of what was going on in the community, in the state. I was the chair of our Park, Rec, and Environmental Board here in the city that I live in. And I have a daughter. My eldest daughter is in politics. She graduated with a political science degree from McAllister and went to Chicago and worked with Obama's community organizing thing down there, and then decided to come back up here to help run a gubernatorial campaign. And she moved back, you know, stayed with us. And so I just kind of went vicariously along with her through this campaign, watching them build it from, you know, literally grassroots, where a handful of young people came together with a common cause and supporting a candidate and built out this incredible campaign. Like, I just remember looking at them in awe and saying, how do you guys know how to do this? Because these were, you know, mid-20 kids. I mean, they just figured it out as they went, and they were innovative and smart and clever, and people were just drawn to them. So they built an incredible campaign. And so I got to know, you know, the movers and shakers here in the cities in Minnesota, saw what it takes to run. And of course, whenever you start volunteering, people are like, when are you going to run? When are you going to run for office? So I had that asked to me a million times. I got more active in my Senate district where I live, got to know my senator and my rep really well. And when my senator decided to retire, the rep ran for her Senate seat, and they asked me to run for the rep seat. And I did. And that's what really got me started. But I think being a teacher and working with the diverse communities, I think I really have a pulse on what is going on in reality in our communities. And then also as the school steward in our union, and all the issues for teachers and paras and educational assistants, you know, I'd been advocating for them for a long time, just really prepared me for, I think, the work that I'm doing now. And I did that for, I taught Anne, was a state representative for 4 years. And then once I went to the Senate, I retired, and now I'm just doing the Senate work. But that, it really is my daughter that got me going. And then Margaret Anderson Kelleher was a candidate. And so I always attribute my political expertise or experience to her, and say she's why I'm here. So those are the things that got me going.
Wow. Yeah, I'm always interested to find out how people, you know, got where they were, or what inspired them, or what the path was. So thanks for sharing that. That's really interesting and very cool.
Yeah, and I have a sister who's an Indian law lawyer. She worked for NARF, Native American Rights Fund. She worked for the Mashantucket Pequot in gaming. She taught Indian law. She worked at the Federal Reserve on a couple of things and the Obama administration. And she would just tell us about the cool work that she was doing. And I just thought, oh, I want to be able to do stuff like that. And then we also were learning, you know, all the things that needed to be done, whether it's at the federal level, the local level, the tribal level. And you know, what really motivated me also is to be able to represent the tribes here in Minnesota, because they've never really had that kind of genuine representation. You know, after building a good reputation with all 11 tribes here in Minnesota, tribal nations, I think that, you know, they trust me enough to ask me to carry some really, really, really important bills. I'm super honored to do that. They're tough ones. There's some really, really tough ones. But it has to be done. And the time I feel is now. And I have enough people around me to support me in this work. My sister, again, like, she knows everything about Indian country. I have two brothers, one that's a archaeologist and the other who's just an incredibly intelligent, knowed person around what goes on in Indian country. And I can always reach out to them and say, what do you know about this? Or can you help me find information on that? And, you know, right now my sister is the American Indian Commissioner, what is it? The ANA Commissioner in Biden's administration. And I mean, talk about some cool things she gets to do. She's down in Hawaii and America Samoa. Mm-hmm. Meeting with them and letting them know about some funding opportunities that is coming their way. Because again, if nobody's there to advocate that for them in a good way, they often are not included in the funding. And the America Samoa is, of course, not part of our mainland, so they don't have the voting rights to vote in federal elections and things like that. So their vote doesn't count in a way, unless they're on the mainland, then it counts. But if they're on their island, it doesn't count. That's like Puerto Rico as well. Mm. And so she's there celebrating with them. Yep. Yep.
I didn't know that. I don't think.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that. So Hawaiians can't vote on the federal level.
No, Hawaiians can because they are a state. They are one of our 50 states. But like Puerto Rico and American Samoa and what other? I think there's another one who are like provinces or under the.
Is that the Philippines? The Philippines?
It might be. I'd have to double check. But yeah, they're American citizens, but they are not a state of the union. And therefore, if they are on their island, they cannot participate in federal elections. If they're living on the mainland, then they can, which is so interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never knew that. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. On Native Roots Radio.
That's right. Oh,
those are all Indigenous folks too, remember?
Absolutely.
So we absolutely are in solidarity with them when it comes to representing them as well.
Absolutely. Hey, I've always wanted to ask you, I know we hear a little bit of this and we were talking about not only the history of you getting in politics, but just the history of being on Native Roots Radio. Do people come up to you and say, I heard you on the radio?
Yes. A lot of people do, it's really interesting. And sometimes in the oddest places, if I'm introduced or something, they're like, oh, I listen to you on Fridays on Native Roots Radio. And, it always kind of, makes me happy that people are actually listening and know who we are when we're saying these things. So, yeah, it has happened. And I'm just trying to think of some of the unique times that that folks have been listening. Oh, I was speaking at Bethel College not so long ago. And we're talking about the work that we've been doing and I've been doing with missing and murdered Indigenous women. And then reparations. And this was before the two big land back bills for White Earth and Red Lake. Mm. And afterwards, some people came up and spoke to me, and two women came up and told me, I listen to you every Friday. It's so great to see you in person. So, and it's just always kind of rewarding.
It's fun. I remember Wendy and I, we finished one of our first shows, and we were really stressful about 7 years ago, and we were at the station and we asked the producer, you go, well, how'd that go? And he goes, well, 30,000 people just heard you. he wouldn't tell us how it went, but he did let us know that 30,000 people just listened to you.
No pressure. Yeah,
the way he said it, it didn't go so well. So we tried to improve the week after and then the week after that. So
We should go back and listen to some of those early episodes. I bet we would just all have a really good chuckle.
Absolutely. Well, we want to just say a big peenie-geegy thank you for what you do again for your constituents, state of Minnesota and Indian country. And to our listeners, informing us all of what's happening at the Capitol and the great work that you're doing. So I just want to say a big thank you for being on all these years.
happy to be here, happy to do this, and Wopula Tonka to you as well for having faith in me and putting me into this kind of position where we can talk about really important issues.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we will be up next with Wendy and her sacred animal portion. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
Seward Co-op offers convenient grab-and-go options as well as hot bars and salad bars at both the Friendship and our newly remodeled Franklin store. Breakfast items are available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch is served all day every Sunday. Our weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight culinary traditions and cuisines from around the world. We offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free items every day. 90% of the ingredients used are from organic, local, and small-scale producers whenever possible. Learn more at seward.coop.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! Woo! Woo! Hey, it's Fun Fact Friday, and we have Wendy here at our sister station in Long Beach, New York, Long Island, New York, and she's in looks like you're in our expensive mansion in Long Beach.
This is a virtual fantasy background I put in, and maybe a house that we'll get someday when we hit Powerball.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. Oh, definitely. And well, today's Fun Fact Friday, and we love Wendy coming on and talking about our sacred animals, which I learned so much about. And I know people, when I'm out in public with radio functions and not, they always ask about you, Wendy, and you're a very popular person in the popular segment. So introduce yourself and welcome.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And yes, this is the background in case anybody's watching us on Facebook or other social media and can see us. This is a fantasy background that I picked. So yeah, it's a beautiful living room with a grand piano and a fireplace. And for those who cannot see us, but anyway, here we are. Yeah, exactly. Robert, you brought this to my attention this morning about woodpeckers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I never saw a woodpecker in my whole life. I was brought up on Long Island, New York. I lived there and lived in parts of New Jersey my whole life. And I never saw a woodpecker in my life or heard one until I moved to Minnesota. Wow. So this is, I never did. One day I heard something banging or tapping on the pole outside. I think it was the light pole or the utility pole in our alley. And I was like, what the heck is that? And Robert, you were like, oh, that's a woodpecker. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like really surprised. And I think I took about 100 pictures of that woodpecker. But anyway, I didn't know this. And this is a fun fact about woodpeckers. A woodpecker's tongue is so long that it wraps around its skull to protect its brain while it's hammering away at a tree or other hard surfaces. This combined with other factors such as having a super strong neck muscles, plates of spongy bone in the skull that act like a football helmet, and a very small amount of cerebral spinal fluid surrounding their brain, this all helps to stop the woodpecker scrambling its brain while it's pecking away at a force of over 1,000 grams. Isn't that crazy? That's a fun fact about woodpeckers. Because I guess you would, you know, if you're banging your head around like that, your brain can get scrambled. That's how a lot of traumatic brain injuries happen.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day why we got on the subject of silk, and they said, I said something like, oh, I don't wear anything with silk or use any products with silk. And they said, why? So I said, well, you know, I'm vegan and vegans don't, you know, use silk. And I found I was able to explain a little bit, but not, I should have been better versed on if I ever get this question again. But silk comes from the saliva of silkworms. The silkworms are killed with steam, hot air, or boiling water. Silkworms are bred on intense moth farms. And to get the silkworms are killed in their cocoon. So that's how silk, you get silk shirts or silk. A lot of people are using like those silk pillowcases to help their hair and wrinkles on their face. But I have satin. I use satin.
Yeah.
I just want to remind everybody, this is a public announcement that was just issued about hummingbirds. And I've talked about this before, that hummingbirds are unable to retract their tongue due to fungal spores that have germinated on their tongue. And it's due to people putting different things in the syrup that they drink. Like if they put honey, people think, oh, well, let's give them some honey, or I'm going to put some stevia or Sweet and Low in there. You know, you don't have to do that. You want to use plain old cane sugar and water. And that's all you want to do. Don't use any dyes. And it also says here, change the sugar water mixture every couple of days, especially during high temperatures, as it will start to ferment. And if it sits out, if it's really hot some days, do it at, like every other day. Clean that nectar out. Here is a very funny fact I'm going to share right now. Scientists believe that the function of zebra's stripes are to deter insects. So a team of researchers painted black and white stripes on cows, and they found out that it reduced the number of biting flies landing on the cows by more than 50%. And here's a picture. Oh, virtual background. I can't put the picture up of the cow. The cow cannot be a part of, there it is. Can you see it? Well, they painted the stripes on the cow like a zebra, and the cow had less biting flies on them. Isn't that
amazing? 50%?
By 50%. That's a lot. Wow.
Can I get a shirt? I want a shirt like that for my birthday.
That is so funny. So, you know, like, horses and stuff, if they're out in the fields, you always see like a bunch of flies on them. Just paint some zebra stripes on them, and you know, you could do them a lot of good. So I don't know if it was this month or last month, but it was pit bull education month. So a lot of controversy about our puppies, the pit bulls. I grew up in a house that always had pit bulls. Like, that was the breed of dog that we always had in our house. And early on, like in the 1930s, 1940s, the pit bull was known as the nanny dog because the dog would just watch the kids outside and protect them, right? So it was, mm-hmm. they were called nanny dogs, you know, until like, you know, stupid humans got them and then trained them to be fighters. So anyway, Pit Bull Education Month. According to the American Temperament Test Society, pit bulls pass their temperament test conducted by a trained handler 87% of the time. That ranks them as fourth best of 122 breeds tested, meaning they are one of the most affectionate and least aggressive dogs.
Yeah. You know, Wendy, do you remember like in the 80s and early 90s, the big bad dog was a Doberman Pinscher?
Yes.
Remember everyone was saying that?
Yes. And I think what happens is throughout the years, depending on like what's going on in the media and what kind of movies are coming out, is the dog of the, you know, that time. Like I remember the St. Bernard, Cujo. Do you remember that?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so then Cujo, the St. Bernard, got all the bad press and everything. And also like the movies has also caused a lot of people getting the breed of dog, like
Chihuahuas
with that little Chihuahua. Remember that? Yeah. Oh, and the Taco Bell Chihuahua. Do you remember
oh,
that?
Yeah.
Everybody yeah. wanted to run out and get a Chihuahua. Well, then all these people ran out and got the Chihuahua, and then they realized, like, you know, this is not really the dog for me, or I should have got this Chihuahua, or whatever. And then we had all these Chihuahuas in the shelter.
Right.
Well, that's what happens. Like these dogs are in the movies and everybody's like, oh, I want that dog. I want a dog like that. They go get the dog and then they're like, oh, I didn't know that this isn't really what the dog was about, you know?
Exactly. Adopt, so, don't shop. Hey, Wendy, thanks. Got 30 seconds left here for the sacred animal section. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, shop, do not shop, adopt. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.